coming up on Patriots This Week.
Patriots get to the punter and block the kick. Burkhead right up the middle. Wire to wire. Deion Lewis. Touchdown, Patriots.
Well, isn't that special?
Special teams.
Kick off to the house. The punt block is huge. It helps out the whole team.
The Broncos. Busted in Denver.
Patriots covered by the Patriots.
There you go.
We spent a lot of time on special teams.
It was the first time in 50 years the Patriots have won in consecutive years in the Mile High City.
We need a win like that, and you know it.
Now, after a week in the Rockies, it's on to Mexico to face a rested Raider team needing to be in beast mode for a playoff run.
Those guys are very dynamic players.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Joseph Fiesta, baby.
Owen Daniels blocked extra points, fumbled punts, you name it. Denver has become the home of stranger things for the Patriots. As the Patriots bust the Broncos out there in Denver, and not only that, they sent a message to the entire NFL. That's right, we're back and we're catching steam. Welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, your host for this week, because my former host, Bob Soucy, and my partner is stuffing his face out there in Colorado Springs covering his team. So I'm hosting this show. Here's your guest from Patriots Football Weekly, the editor, Paul Perillo. Give him a hand. Where's our studio audience?
Thanks for having me.
Three-time Super Bowl champion, former linebacker Matt Chatterman.
Hi, how's it over there?
Guys, Coach talks about all three phases and, you know, hitting on all three phases. That was about as complete a 60-minute game as I've seen. Matt, let's start with the special teams.
Yeah.
And for what I called last week, my primetime player, my game-changer, Rex Burkhead.
Look at you.
Scoring touchdowns, blocking punts.
Yeah.
Guy does everything. Tackling guys on kickoffs. What'd you make of the team? Let's start with the special teams.
Well, it was a great call, Zoe, and I think I had Patrick Chung, and he got a pick. So that was a good week.
Had that pick six.
I know. That was a good week for both of
not
us.
Bad.
But no. So looking at the special team stuff, this happens each and every year we do the show. I think as the things get colder and you get into these kind of environment, those guys shine more. Their roles matter more because the field possession matters more. Handling the ball becomes that much more important. The one thing I can say is just sort of as a matter of history, I'm not ESPN stats and info on this, but Coach Belichick always used to preach to us the dramatic change from win probability when you block a punt. Or, conversely, if you score a touchdown on any of the returns. Have you ever seen a game, I personally haven't, where you get both of those in one? I mean, the win probabilities are completely off the chart. You do that, you kick incredibly well, and cover kicks incredibly well. A lot of the other stuff becomes elementary, I think, on offense and defense. You give yourself such a tremendous advantage.
Paul, Bill will not admit that the left-footed punter doesn't matter. He's just going to get the best punter available. That kid catches his first punt, and that ball's coming in at a different angle. It's like catching it from a left-handed quarterback. How much does that matter?
As Bill also said after the game, which I thought was really interesting, it's not the first one he's dropped this year. It was actually the fifth. So I don't think left foot, right foot, Isaiah McKenzie's having his struggles. But, you know, in terms of what Matt talked about, I totally agree. And, Matt, I'm one of the guys that always makes fun of you. You know that.
Guys,
you know, I have the love, but I make fun of you.
Smartest guy,
do special teams on your own time. You know, I like to say at training camp.
Fair enough.
What I think Bill does, and I think you saw this come to fruition Sunday night, it's not just keeping guys that are just special teamers. It's playing regulars on special teams. Deion Lewis is their lead back right now. Some guys wouldn't have their lead back returning the kick. He goes 103 yards for a touchdown. Burkhead has been a big part of the offense. It's not just guys that they kept for special teams, like a Brandon King.
I'm going to talk about Deion Lewis here real quick. Did either of you two figure that, boy, 10 weeks into this thing, he's going to be the premier back here with this team?
I thought that Deion Lewis was a prime candidate to be dealt because of the depth that they had. But if they didn't deal him, I felt he was the best back they had. And the reason I thought he was a candidate was because I felt like the Patriots maybe were a little bit afraid of the durability. And Bill Belichick knows how good he is. I mean, let's face it. He's watched the guy in 2015. He saw what he could do. But I think he had some doubts as to whether or not he could hold up. And maybe that's why he wasn't the lead back right away. I think he's the most talented, versatile back that they have. I think in terms of running out of the backfield and catching the ball, he does it better than the other three.
I'd say the one thing that he's gotten best to this juncture is the hit the hole quickly. And that's not something Deion Lewis has always done. I mean, he's an exciting player. I love him. Love to watch him. He'll make the jump cut, the kinetic thing out in space kind of deal. But if you go back and sort of watch some of his best carries from a week ago, he's the quickest to the hole. Burkhead's close, but comparable. James White is such a great change of pace, the screen guy, the pass-catching guy. But he's more the draw player, right? When it's direct run, it's not that. And I think the unique dynamic here is it's a competitive room. Any of the four can do it in one shape or form. But it's sort of how do I earn carries? And I think they've got to the point where you don't want 2 yard gains. You want four. You know, you don't always have to get eights. And you watch sort of the way these guys earn their carries and how they carry them out. I think it's in part to earn more amongst that little group. So it's a cool little competitive dynamic.
Tom Brady, we talk about him each and every week here. Can he top what he did the week prior? But Denver's been a house of horrors. And Matt, you know, this playing in some stadiums, it just doesn't have the right feel for you. This is as efficient as I've ever seen Brady out in Denver. They took his outside guys away. So you got Tlaib and you've got Harris. They negated everything on the outside. Then it became a game of tight ends and backs in the middle. Talk about Brady's pocket presence. Not that he had to extend plays. You had Cannon down, so you had Waddle on the right. I didn't call Von Miller's name one time during the broadcast.
Well, you hit it. I was waiting for you to get there. To me, that was the most important part. Really an excellent game from the offensive line. Great movement guard to guard in the run game. Great protection on the outside. And just enough changeup. It wasn't say, hey, we're going to chip Von every time. It was enough of the hip stuff. And you know this, Zoe. You motion a guy over and just have him stand near the hip. Why? To change his angle. Sometimes you chip him, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just sort of fake that you're going to be there. But I think Adrian Waddle deserves a ton of credit. We've seen this happen over and over and over. We've seen this movie. This is Jaws like 10 by now, where a tackle that people say, oh, could he step in, does. Because over the course of 6, 7, 8, 9 games, in that system, in those practices, they get better. Cam Fleming, Adrian Waddle, they can step in a punch. Especially, I mean, it's been proven. At this point, Von Miller, it doesn't get better than that.
They ran the football one. I think they had some help at the tight end position. Obviously, Gronkowski looked great in the game. Martellus Bennett coming back. How much, Paul, does this mean to this team? And what do you make of the Bennett situation?
Yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing both of those guys together. You saw early on, you know, guys are following Gronk across the field, and there goes Marty the other way for like 27 yards. No one's even covering him. So I do think it offers, and I'm anxious to see the red zone. The one thing offensively, I think the offense has been terrific all season. I think they've moved the ball pretty much at will in every game they've played. They haven't turned the ball over. But in the red zone, they've struggled a little bit. They had 2 short field goals even Sunday night.
I want to see
these two guys play together down there.
All right, we're going to switch to the defense. Gilmore back in this game. He missed 3 games because of the concussion, the head injury. How do you think he played, Paul? And I think Butler had a bad matchup with Emmanuel Sanders. He battled.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he got smoked pretty good.
And I agree. I thought Butler did struggle. Gilmore, I think, and this was one of those games that sort of lent itself to Gilmore, what we're sort of learning about. You know, he can match up. And, you know, Denver doesn't have a lot of depth at receiver, but they have 2 pretty good wide receivers on the outside. And the bigger one obviously went to Gilmore. I think it was a little bit uneven. I thought he was okay. I mean, you look at the stats, and Thomas really didn't do a lot of damage. I don't think his coverage was as good as those numbers would indicate. He did give up a touchdown. He did have a key third down penalty before the game got out of hand. But he also made a couple of plays. I thought after 3 weeks being off, really a month out of action, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was great, but I thought he made some plays.
Yeah, I thought he was good, and I like the sort of analogy that you were making there, that we'll see week to week who he works best with, right? Think back to Mike Evans. That was one of his best covers of the season. Demaryius Thomas is big, tall, strong, not as fast, right? I think it's very comparable to that kind of body type. Oh, you hit on it. There might be weeks where that guy doesn't exist, and they have to play other stuff. But I thought in regards to Malcolm Butler, it was one of those games where Coach Belichick likes to say this a lot. We appreciate how competitive it was. He lost a lot of the competitions. He was there real close on a couple, lost. They got spun around a couple times as well. You have to acknowledge that. But I think the best thing they did is even in their completions, they stayed on top of them. These weren't the game breakers. They at least kept them to red zone, Larry. Once they get the high red zone, they got their stops. They were exceptional in the red zone.
Quickly in the pass rush, Wise, a lot of increased reps. I thought Flowers middled some things well, but no Malcolm Brown, no Cassius Marsh. How do you think they're starting to handle the front?
I know that they're not necessarily going hell-bent after quarterbacks, especially a guy like Osweiler. Let him sit in the pocket and see if he can pick you apart. But I don't think that they have done a great job of getting after the passer.
All right, guys, great stuff coming up next. We got our NFL insider, Don Banks, as we have our Bank Shot segments next on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Rex Burkhead. Now in his 5th year out of Nebraska, Burkhead had a breakout performance against the Broncos. The 5'10", 210-pounder got the Patriots on the board first with this 14-yard slant into the end zone.
And the 27-year-old proves just how versatile he is with a second quarter punt block that led to a field goal. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, and it's time for our bank shots with our NFL insider, Don Banks. How are we doing, Don?
Good, Zo.
I want to start with the commissioner of the National Football League. You got Roger Goodell contract extensions against one of the most powerful owners, if not the most powerful owner, Jerry Jones. Where's this thing heading when you look at it? Can he really win this case, meaning Jerry Jones, not Roger Goodell?
In a word, no. I don't think he has the 24 votes. I don't think he can roll this back. And really what he's done is turned Goodell, believe it or not, into a sympathetic character within ownership. I think Jerry's going to threaten litigation, stomp his feet, try to get his way. In the end, I'd be shocked if he actually files and sues his fellow owners. I think that is a bridge too far. I think this is something he's going to have to swallow hard and pretend never happened in about another 6 months.
Is the commissioner really demanding $50 million a year?
No, I don't think that's an accurate report. Okay. I do believe it's going to be a boatload. But I think what they're going to end up doing is they're both going to claim victory at some point and get out. The league's going to say that they move more of the commissioner's salary into incentive-based type of funds, and Jerry's going to say that's a victory. And the league's also going to say that Goodell didn't take one dime less overall and that they are reachable incentives. So I think this is going to be a semantical victory for both sides, and they're going to hope it goes away. But, yeah, this is over Ezekiel Elliott and a few other things. I think the anthem protest issue is still sticking in Jerry's craw.
Okay, we'll go back to week two, Patriots at Saints. Pretty good win, we thought, at the time for the New England Patriots. You said after that game here on Patriots This Week, Sean Payton probably won't make it till the end of the season.
That's a good call.
Saints are sitting there at 7-2. What do you make of the turnaround?
Well, look, when you can run the ball and you can play defense, and keep in mind, in their seven-game winning streaks, six times they've held opponents to 17 points or less. That's a pretty good formula for January, is it not? So this is a Saints team that is not going away. They're legit because they don't even need Drew Brees to beat you anymore. Before, it was either Brees threw for 500 or they didn't win. Now they have a legit balanced football team. I'm surprised as anyone, but it's real.
Look at the AFC, and really, I think there's three legitimate teams: New England, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City. And we say that as far as contenders.
Right.
There's teams that are going to get in. Then the NFC side, you got a bunch of teams with winning records sitting there. Give me the top three right now. I mean, everybody's on Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'll go Philadelphia. I'll go Seattle because I believe in the end.
They got guys that have been there.
Yeah, they're going to be there. And I'll go the Saints. And keep an eye on the Rams and the Vikings. But I really believe that's your top three. Look, there's 10 winning teams in the NFC. Only six of them are going to make the playoffs. It's one of those years where 10-6 may not get it done in the NFC.
All right, Don, thanks a lot. There's your bank shots. We're going to preview the Oakland Raiders up next on Patriots This Week. All right, time now for your Zo Show. Now, if the Oakland Raiders are going to beat the Patriots, they're going to have to outscore them. We can look at Khalil Mack. We can look at Beast Mode. We can look at Derek Carr. We can look at a lot of other guys, but this guy right here, and I want you to stop it. Okay, up here at the top, you got the trips formation to the left. We're going to look at Michael Crabtree. Why? Six touchdowns this year, over 12 yards per catch. If you're going to get any sort of a track meet, this is where the communication is essential. All kind of guys here, what do? Pop it inside. This is where a 9-year veteran has that moxie. Knows how to catch the ball in space. He's not really fast, but those are good quality yards. Here, what do you notice again? Trips to the right. Here's the guy on the backside. Watch. Here's the clear out. Where's he going? Right over there, Michael Crabtree. Watch this ability to get the ball inside the pylon. Great footwork on the sidelines. This guy's got a lot of experience. So we're out of the trips formation. Watch, little double move. Sees his quarterback in trouble. It's like taking candy from a baby right there. Malcolm Butler had some issues last week against, who's that guy? Manny Sanders, right? Manny Sanders was quick. This guy, he's savvy. Watch him, Michael Crabtree.
The Zo Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. This team right here, the Oakland Raiders, one of the best helmets. Matt, we've talked about that even before we started the show. They were not only one of the hottest helmets, but one of the hottest teams in the preseason. A lot of people had them to challenge the Patriots for the AFC. They sit there at 4-5. Their young quarterback has 13 touchdowns, but he's thrown a lot of interceptions, seven already, and he's been battered. Well, you look at them on offense. They got a lot of skill on the outside. What do you make of them in beast mode? It didn't seem like they give beast mode really the chance to get going.
Yeah, and usually that's offensive line play. They spend a lot of money at left guard. Donald Penn, a good left tackle. It's a place where they've had investment, yet they haven't been able to move the football consistently there.
Yep.
Yeah, you bring the tight end over from Green Bay in free agency. You already have Crabtree and Cooper. You have, air quote, weapons, but they haven't been as good as advertised. So I think it's portion of that, and then I think you come into the season sort of presuming because they invested on the defensive side and Jack Del Rio is your coach that they're going to somehow some point get better there.
Yeah, that's funny said Jack Del Rio is your coach.
Yeah, Jack Del Rio is your coach. But you know Khalil Mack is one of the best defensive players in the league. You think like you have things to build upon, but when you sort of look back across their schedule this year, there's been weeks where the defense has actually played well and the offense shouldn't just show up. And then there's weeks where the offense played a little better and the defense was abysmal.
You got Irvin, you got Mack, and everybody's going to rave about their front. Paul, how much has it helped playing against guys like Clowney, Peppers, Joey Bosa, to where, okay, we got a front, but we've played against pretty good edge guys before this year?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, and Bill always says it, that's the NFL. I mean, you're going to face good players, good edge guys all along. And to me, I think Khalil Mack is excellent. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I'd rather have the guys have the reputation of being off the edge because I feel like Tom just eats that for breakfast. I think the guys that can really collapse the pocket in the middle are what really gives that offensive line trouble. And I think those guys in the middle, and Matt, you mentioned off the top, those guys have played really well the last several weeks. Joe Tooney, I think, has been really, really good. I think Shaq Mason has been excellent all season.
I'm surprised by the guard play.
Those two guys, I think, have played really well lately. I think that's been a big key.
It's a great point, especially because of Tom being a step up to the pocket kind of guy. And Paul touched on it. You don't care if you let him fly by. Right. You don't care if you let him fly by. But if they fly by and you're getting pushed, then you got problems.
If he has nowhere to go and that's how he climbs the pocket, that's when he makes, I think, his most dangerous plays.
Yeah. Oakland's the only team in the National Football League that has not had an interception defensively.
It's just astounding to me.
So is Josh McDaniels licking his chops right here saying we're gonna push this ball outside?
Well,
Brandon Cooks.
I think you could see a little of that. And, the last couple of weeks we talked about the Boses and the Von Millers of the world, and I think it made a lot of sense. Get the ball out of Tom's hands really quickly. Use those backs, in matchups against linebackers. And don't worry about the outside guys.
I thought they gave up some rushing yards to Denver, and Anderson, a pretty good back. I still get worried about Marshawn Lynch, beast mode. As volatile a player as he is, he got suspended game for grabbing a ref. He goes and he plays in the high school. Team. I mean, the guy's crazy. But I keep going back to Super Bowl 49 and him as a Seattle Seahawk. This guy can get it going if they commit to him.
I think you're right if they were able to commit. And I think you'll see a decision early defensively which way they go. They were willing to sit and nickel much more against those guys last week. I think against Marshawn and because of the size of the offensive line, much different makeup than the Broncos offensive line, I think they'll be more compelled to stay in regular. We saw more of Ricky Jean-Francois here first, right off the street in there, playing a good amount of reps inside. Important because, as you mentioned, Malcolm Brown's not there. But it kind of depends on if it's a rock fight. If it's a rock fight, you got to bring your regular group in, and that means bringing in the big guys. But if not, I think Marshawn becomes less of a factor.
And I want to go to the Del Rio point here. Okay, is Del Rio going to be overwhelmed in this game? Like, there's Belichick. I got to do something. We see it each and every week. Somebody's got to do something outside the box to beat New England. Will he commit and say, I want to slow this game down?
Yeah, he may. I don't think that's the way to go about it. I think if you do that, you're playing into the Patriots' hands because their offense is going to move the ball and score. If you try to slow the game down, that puts a lot of pressure on your offense to score. Because now you're limiting possessions. You almost have to score on every one of them because New England is going to do that.
All right, guys, great stuff. Up next, it's Buenos Dias in Mexico when Patriots This Week continues because we have our predictions.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studio. Going to wrap things up, give our prediction and game changer. Matt, you're in first.
This is real easy. I'm going to go Patriots 33-17, but I'm going to go to Gronk. It feels like an easy choice, but why? I think he's pissed about not getting credit for that touchdown he had a week ago. I think he'll be a big focus. We're ready to see that guy have a 100-yard game.
Paul?
Yeah, I like the Patriots big in this one, too, maybe 38-24. And, Zoe, you touched on it in the previous segment. Outside the numbers, I think he can get downfield on this weak Raiders secondary. Brandon Cooks, I think, explodes in this game. I think he has at least one big play for a touchdown, but I think he could be well over 100 yards.
All right, I'm going to go Patriots 34, Raiders 20. I think this week out in Colorado Springs brings this team together. They easily win this football game. The game changer, James White, out of the backfield, another back. They're going to continue to pound this thing. That's going to do it for this edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Paul Perillo, for Don Banks, thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Zolak. See you next time on Patriots This Week.
Bye-bye.